afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's update on Oyster US Selection conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday the 30th of October, 2017. And I'd now like to turn the conference over to your speaker today, Bertrand Dord, Head of Fund Platform. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to welcome you on this Oyster UCITS call on behalf of CIS Asset Management. Let me please introduce John Indelicate, Co-Portfolio Manager of the Oyster UCITS Selection Fund. John is a senior investment professional at Scout Investments, which he joined in 2004. He worked on this U.S. equity strategy since inception in 2006. Scout was appointed as sub-manager of Oyster UCITS Selection since inception of the fund in March 2012. The performance of the Oyster Fund has been very good, and the fund ranks in the first decile of the Morningstar peer group for 1 year, 2 years, and 3 years. John will discuss the U.S. equity market, the positioning of the fund, and recent performance. John, over to you.
Great. Thank you, Bertrand, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your interest in the Oyster US Selection Funds. Just as a quick review of our strategy, we have a consistent, repeatable process that does well in both bull and bear markets. We have the same portfolio managers in place from our inception in 2006, so I feel confident that going forward we'll have similar results as in the past. Our strategy utilizes both a top-down and a bottom-up process, and we switch our valuation strategy depending on whether we're in that bull or bear market. We focus on financially strong companies that trade at attractive prices and that have catalysts to unlock the value. I'm going to talk about three things today. I'm going to discuss our asset class, the U.S. equities. I'm going to talk about how our fund is positioned to take advantage of those trends. And I'm going to review performance over the last year. In terms of the asset class, the United States is an attractive place to invest right now. We have accelerating gross domestic products. Every quarter of the last four quarters has accelerated. And this is despite two massive hurricanes hitting the United States this last quarter that should have put a damper on GDP. So we think the backdrop there is pretty favorable. Accelerating GDPs tend to result in higher equity prices. We think the political environment in the United States is favorable for business. Despite lots of dramatic headlines and lots of noteworthy, we'll say noteworthy, tweets coming out of our administration. The Republican-controlled Congress and White House is a good backdrop for business. We're having less regulation, and we have a proposal on the table for a pretty massive corporate tax reform. The details of which are still being worked out, but if they pass any sort of corporate tax reform, we think that's potentially a very large upside for the stock market here, because we think that the lowering of the corporate tax rates and the broadening out of the base, so to speak, is a very pro-growth initiative. We think that will pay dividends for us and should be reflected in higher stock valuations going forward. We also think expectations are fairly low for what the Republicans can actually get done. So we think that there's plenty of upside surprise to come if they do successfully pass some sort of tax reform. The Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, which does mean we're in the later part of our economic cycle, but we're not close to inverting the yield curve yet. And historically, the way the cycle works is markets tend to appreciate until we hit a recession, and the recession is preceded by an inverted yield curve. Historically, once the yield curve inverts, that's when you start the countdown for when the recession is likely to occur, and usually it's a year to 18 months after the inversion of the curve. And by inversion, I mean the short end has higher interest rates than the 10-year yield on our government bonds. So with that, we think we're in the later parts of the economic cycle, but still think that the bull market has 2 to 3 years left to go, barring some sort of unforeseen events. We frequently get questions about valuations. Valuations are certainly higher than they were in 2009, and certainly in the upper half of their historic ranges. But valuations have been higher in the past. The S&P 500 index trades about 18 times forward earnings right now. It has been as high as 25. In our experience has shown that until fundamentals change, valuation is not a reason to change your investment standpoints. So from our point of view, until we see a fundamental catalyst on why the economy is going to start slowing down and starts pricing in recession fears, we think valuation is not going to be a problem for the U.S. equity markets. And given that we have a very low interest rate environment, it makes sense to pay a higher multiple on stocks. The other point I'll make on valuation is that when we look at index level valuations, yes, they're a little higher, but that doesn't mean that individual stocks aren't attractive. And as people who are investing in individual stocks, we think that the individual stock valuations matter a lot more than what the aggregate index might be. Currently, if you want to flip to slide 10 has a good overview of our sector breakdown. You can see that we're currently overweight in industrials and consumer discretionary. We have an underweight in consumer staples. Those are our more noteworthy sector positionings. The sector weights tend to be developed because of our themes. As we find the bottom-up themes that we really like, that tends to help allocate the sector allocations. So some of the themes that we're really exposed to right now, we have a big overweight in defense spending. The U.S. government is spending more on its defense budget. Threat levels around the world are starting to rise. North Korea is making a lot more noise about being aggressive with missile attacks. Geopolitical risk in the Middle East is always high, and our government is starting to respond to that by increasing the defense spending. So we own several names that are levered to that, and our names tend to be levered to things that we think are going to be the incremental beneficiaries of defense spending. We own things that make naval vessels. One of the big initiatives is the U.S. wants to get to a 350-ship Navy to potentially combat to basically offset the Chinese increasing their Navy capacity. We also own stocks that are levered to missile defense. With North Korea increasing its threat level, having things that can counteract North Korean missiles is a good place to be spending money. So we have names that are levered to defense spending. One of our largest themes that pervades the portfolio is consumer experiences over consumers buying things. With the rise of e-commerce and with demographic trends changing consumption patterns in the U.S. and around the globe, we think that companies that sell experiences are more important. So a good example is Thor Industries. They make recreational vehicles. People are embracing outdoor activities more. It used to be that recreational vehicles were really just baby boomers would buy them. But now the millennials are buying them also. There's been a big push by that industry to demonstrate here's other use cases for recreational vehicles other than just touring around the country in your retirement years. For instance, a lot of millennials with young kids will get an RV and take them to their weekend sporting events. And so the kids are playing sports and you have the recreational vehicle to operate as your home base, your place to rest between games, things like that. So these new use cases have really helped the RV sales go up. The other side of that is we're avoiding brick-and-mortar retailers. Those names are under constant pressure from Amazon and other e-commerce threats. You see their margins getting squeezed. You see their traffic trends going down. Not owning those names has been a benefit this year. A third theme I want to talk about is just the increase in semiconductor contents across industries, especially in automobiles. Some of our top stocks have been levered to higher memory in storage, memory storage in data centers, cell phones, and things like that, which is a play on the rise of social media and on people putting pictures out there on the internet. You start seeing more semiconductors in your cars. You have sensors that tell you your tire pressure is low or your oil needs to be changed. Those are the base level sensors. You also have the driver assist sensors that tell you there's a car in your blind spots, you're departing the lane, you need to brake faster, things like that. All that increased semiconductor content is really helping lots of companies find new ways to sell their products. In terms of performance for the year, a lot of those themes have played out well for us. Some of our top names this year have been NVIDIA, which makes graphical processing units. A lot of those sensors in cars need the higher processing speed of a GPU. The GPU also goes in the data center, where artificial intelligence and machine learning need the higher computational processing power to work. And so NVIDIA has found new places to sell their processing cards. It used to be pretty much the purview of gaming computers and PlayStations and things like that. But now with an expanded market opportunity, that stock did very well for us this year. Thor, which we talked about previously, was another top performer for us, as his RV sales have done very well. Thor also benefited from acquiring a competitor, Jayco Industries, and so the synergies there have been a nice boost to the earnings. That's pretty illustrative of our best stocks. Historically, our best stocks are ones that combine a really strong top-down theme, like experiences over things, plus the bottom-up fundamentals of, in this case, an acquisition where they can do a lot of cost-cutting. Other top stocks for us this year have been DXC Technologies, which is formerly known as Computer Sciences Corporation. Computer Sciences and Hewlett-Packard Enterprises merged, and the resulting company, DXC, continues on its path of lots of cost cutting. The CEO there is very strong at finding ways to strip costs out and up the margins. And so that stock has been a long-term winner for us. On the other side of the stock specific, a couple of detractors have been things like Pioneer Natural Resources. Energy stocks in general had a rough start to the year. We're starting to see some life there going forward as oil prices have stabilized. But Pioneer, in addition to just selling oil and being levered to the commodity price, suffered as during the third quarter, it was discovered that their water handling was going to be a little bit more expensive than previously thought. And the Permian Basin, which is in Texas, which is where Pioneer does all of its exploration, had been thought of as the low cost producer in the United States. Well, these water issues are making it a little higher cost. And so that stock suffered because people had to price in these water issues. Another detractor I'll highlight is Edwards Life Sciences. Edwards makes replacement heart valves. Strong growing market. We really like the exposure to cardiac diseases. As baby boomers age, they're going to need more medical care. They're going to need more cardiac care. Heart disease is one of the leading killers of people in the United States. So we like that Edwards is levered to that. We also like medical devices in general because they tend to have less political reimbursement pressure. That said, Edwards had a rough year, as I think estimates got a little bit ahead of where their actual growth is. So we still like Edwards. We think it will grow into its – we think its addressable market is large enough that it will justify its multiple, and the growth will be there. It's just taking a little bit of a pause in the stock action right now. In terms of sector attribution, which was stock selection was the bulk of our outperformance this year. Sector attribution was a positive contributor. Underweight healthcare, underweight staples were two positive contributors for us. The healthcare underweight, there's a lot of political uncertainty, and so we have to be really careful with how we want to position our healthcare names. Throughout the year, there have been headlines about the Affordable Care Act, which was President Obama's signature healthcare reform legislation. That's been the Congress has attempted to repeal that, which failed, but now the Trump administration is using some executive actions to weaken some of the provisions in that legislation. And as those provisions change, that's going to have somewhat unpredictable effects on companies. And so we want to be cautious. We don't want to be levered to companies that are depending on the Affordable Care Act legislation to do well. So we want to be pretty cautious with our healthcare selection. We're also underweight consumer staples, which has been a good contributor for us year to date. One of the things that we noticed pretty early on in the year is that Amazon and Walmart are getting very aggressive against each other. They're having a little bit of a price war. And very simply, we don't think it's a good idea to be in the middle of an Amazon-Walmart price war. Both of them are using groceries as a loss leader, especially Walmart that is pitching the idea to consumers of, we'll give you a good discount on your groceries if you come into the store to pick them up. Walmart also acquired Jet.com and is trying to be the other e-commerce platform other than Amazon. And so they're investing heavily. They're investing in price. And when you're investing in price, that basically means that there's a big headwind for anybody who competes with Walmart and anybody who sells to Walmart. Kroger, which is another grocery store, is a name that we sold pretty quickly and fortunately because Kroger underperformed pretty dramatically during the year. In terms of sector detractors, we have an overweight in real estate right now. Real estate tends to be a good ballast for the portfolio. It tends to be a little less volatile day to day. It has pretty good dividend yields for downside protection. And during an expanding economy, despite the higher yield, REITs tend to do pretty well because they are levered to the economic growth. That sector has underperformed this year, though, as people have moved into other cyclical areas. So that has been a little bit of a sector attribution headwind for us. And so with that, I think I will thank you for your time and interest, and I will open it up for questions for Q&A.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad now. That's star and one should you wish to ask a question. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that's star and one on your telephone keypad.
One question for you, John. Can you please comment on the resources that you dedicate to the U.S. equity strategy, i.e. Portfolio managers and analysts, the number and the length of experience?
Sure. So our team is made up of four portfolio managers and two analysts. Pat Dunkerley is our lead portfolio manager. Derek Smashy and myself are co-portfolio managers, and the three of us have been together since the inception of the underlying strategy in 2006. In 2013, as the strategy grew, we added Jason Vitruba as another co-portfolio manager. Jason came to us from our small cap strategy and had a lot of very similar personal investing style to our strategy, and so it was a really easy fit into our process. In 2015, we added, or 2016, we added Craig West as a dedicated healthcare analyst to the team. And here in 2017, we've added Eric Chenoweth as a dedicated energy analyst to the team. In our experience, healthcare and energy are two areas where we really think we need an in-depth look at those sectors because the details of each individual company are so different from one another, and it really pays to have the extra analytical focus on those sectors. They've both been sectors where we have struggled in the past in terms of stock selection, and so our experience says that adding more resources to dedicated to those sectors will help us perform better going forward.
Thank you.
As a reminder, it's star and one should you wish to ask a question. There are no questions over the phone lines. Please continue.
Thank you. I think it concludes the call. On behalf of Seas Asset Management, thank you for your interest in Oyster US Selection and for your time today. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all now disconnect.